KSCNLP Flagstaff, 101.5. The voice of the voice.
Welcome to a special edition of Learn, Know, and Grow. I'm Talene. You're tuned to KSCN Radio Sunnyside. We have with us Chris Farrell from Theatricos. And we're going to talk to him, find out what's going on there. Hi, Chris.
It's very good to be here on Radio Sunnyside, Talene.
No, oh, thank you. I'm glad you're here. Let me fix it. There, adjusted it a little bit.
And it's still good to be here on Radio Sunnyside, Talene. All the better when our friend Mr. Microphone has joined us.
Yes. So, Chris, tell me about Theatricos.
Wow, I could go on forever about Theatricos. So Theatricos is the largest theater in northern Arizona. We do shows that sort of embrace the spirit of Broadway. We have the musical Annie coming up. We have Men on Boats opening tomorrow. We do education programs. We have been doing all of these things, or most of these things, since 1972 when we were founded. So we're a little past 50 years doing great theater for the people of Flagstaff and Northern Arizona.
Wow. Okay.
Wow is right.
50 years. That's 50 a long years. Time.
Right. So a bunch of people in 1972 got together and decided that Flagstaff needed its own hometown theater. So they gathered in the basement of the Weatherford Hotel and decided we're going to do a show. And a few months later, they did. That very, very first show in 1972 was a show called What Did We Do Wrong? And apparently, we've been doing it right because we've been doing it for 50 years.
Apparently. That's a really great show. You know, that title right there would bring people in.
You'd think so. And the show had just closed on Broadway, which is part of why I think those folks must have chosen it. And in celebration at our 50th anniversary, we did a staged reading of the show. And for historical purposes, it was fascinating. But artistically, that show did not hold up. There's a whole bunch of things on that show that just would not work these days. But still, for historical purposes, it was fascinating.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, I know this is a little bit personal, but how did you get into theater?
I got into theater because I accidentally walked into the wrong classroom. No. Now, there's some truth to that, though. So,
you know, life happens that way much of the time.
It really does. I got into theater because I was sitting in my office and at the University of California, Davis, where I went to school. And I was the business manager of the campus newspaper. And late at night, I don't know how late at night this was like 10 p.m. or something like that. And the campus radio station was a few doors down from the campus newspaper. And we were listening to the campus radio station, KDVS, much like Radio Sunnyside, very much the same spirit. And the announcer went on the air and said, "Who wants to create a radio theater group?" And here I am at like really late at night, and me and a couple of editors listening to the radio station went, and the announcer said, "Call me right now." We didn't call. We walked down the hall. And yeah, a few months later, I was doing radio theater, and that was in the mid-90s and mid-80s, gosh, dating myself. Anyway, did radio theater for a while, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow. You know, I've dabbled in theater, but I only did it. I've never been a theater person as far as acting. I love to go to
theater. You're on the radio. You're by default a theater-esque person.
Well, that's true. That's very true. But I did run a couple of theater groups, but I only did it because the kids needed something to do.
Yeah.
And so I started a theater group, really not knowing what I was doing, to just give the kids something to do.
Yeah, and good on you.
So I know that Theatricos spends a lot of time You have to. Working with children, I'm sure.
We love it.
But you know, you have productions that involve kids a lot.
Of course we do. So the theater's been here for 50 plus years. Our Theatrikids education program is celebrating 20 years.
Oh my God.
So we've been doing specifically programs to teach children for a couple of decades. Our education director, Joe Maniglia, does a great job with all of the directors that he has working for them, the directors, the teachers, the teaching assistants. Jan Rominger, with help from Mickey Mercer, started this 20 years ago. We have a rich history of teaching children. And our Theatrikids program is very specifically focused on the education aspect of it. But as you say, we also do main stage shows that involve children. Our Christmas shows, as a general rule, have a lot of kids in them. And we have auditions coming up for Annie this coming Sunday and Monday night. So,
wonderful.
And of course, you need lots of kids to be in Annie. Quick, Talene, pop quiz for you. When will the sun come out?
Tomorrow?
Very good. You can be in Annie. You pass the quiz.
Okay, I want to be the girl with the little girl with the long brown hair that starts It's a Hard Knocks Life.
Oh, there you go. That's a great song.
It is, yeah. A very great
There's
song.
Lots of wonderful music in the show. It is just fabulous. And we've already had so many inquiries for auditions for this show. And so when you go into one of our Theatrikids education programs, everyone who enrolls gets a part. You go through the audition process for two reasons. One, because it's important to teach children about how auditions work. But secondly, so we put students in the right parts in the performance workshops for Theatrikids. But when you go to a main stage show, like our Christmas shows or like Annie, then not everyone gets in, right? The director looks and says, who's the best person for the part? And you get lots of people auditioning. And that enables us to put on the very best show possible. So it's a wonderful process. But the Theatrikids program's mission is to teach. Our main stage shows is to entertain. The mission is to entertain the community.
That sounds really rich.
Yeah.
And so do you think that, I shouldn't say do you think, do you see kids that are involved in Theatrikos or Theatrikids, either way, blossom, grow? Do you see that happen to them and the bug bites them? Okay, this is what I want to do, or the opposite. Yeah, I don't mind doing this, but it's not my passion.
Here's the thing that happens so often. It is such a beautiful thing to see. You know, I've been doing theater for a very long time. Our education, Joe Maniglia, has been doing theater for a long time. And you bring a child, and our Theatrikids education program goes from ages 6 to 18. You bring someone into an education program, you put them on stage, and they learn things. They learn teamwork. They learn the confidence of speaking in front of the public, and they have fun while they're doing it. So they don't even know they're learning. But Joe and I, we see them learning, and that growth as a person is just so amazing to watch. And will these kids go on to become professional actors? Most of them, that's not what's going to happen. But a few do, by the way. But most of them, they don't. And what they learned, that confidence, that public speaking, that teamwork, all of that stuff, those skills that theater teaches stay with them their entire life. And you see little children. I've seen kids go into those education programs at the beginning and literally hiding behind their mother's skirts, right? And then at the end of a week or a month or 2 months, however long the specific program they've signed up for is, now they're on stage and they're singing a song and they're in command and they're having a good time. And their parents look at me and Joe and the other teachers and go, is that my child? It's a beautiful thing to watch.
You know, our youngest DJ here, Bobby, when she first came in to do a promo, she was like, I don't know, 4 or something. And we practiced for a couple of weeks beforehand, and she was totally ready, prepared, but she got in here in front of the mic. okay, go. And it was total silence.
Yeah.
Went through that a couple of times. And then, do you want your mom to sit by you? Well, then she could perform and do it. I had her in here recently doing another promo. She didn't even write it down. It was only two lines. I got it. It's fine. And she did it.
Yeah.
The first take. And Hunter and I were looking at her going, wow, that's really interesting. But the growth pattern of her comfortability of speaking on the microphone was really interesting to watch. Like you said, you could see it happen. This easiness that she felt in mm-hmm. being here, she was totally at ease. And,
yep.
Yeah.
And whatever she goes on to do in life, she becomes a teacher, a doctor, an astronaut, an accountant, doesn't matter. Those skills exactly. she'll carry with her forever.
And exactly. And that's what I thought was so important about doing a theater group with mm-hmm. kids, because yep. they had nothing to do. We were in rural Alaska.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they had choices, either get in trouble or not. And yeah. they need something yeah. to keep. And it's amazing, like you said, not everyone goes on to become an actor or a DJ or whatever, or musician. But at that moment, they really felt pride in what they yep. were doing.
And by the way, we do have a few that go on to major in theater at university. We got one student who graduated a couple of years ago who's moving to LA to take a crack at theater and the movies. So that kind of thing does happen, but it's the exception to the rule. But there are no exceptions to kids walking in and learning. It's amazing.
Okay, so I want to get to a couple of things, but right now I really want to talk about that very subject, the Arizona-born playwright of Men on Boats.
Right, so Men on Boats. Men on Boats. First of all, no men, no boats.
That's what I'm going to say. I love that. And when I got that, I was like, that's exactly what I'm going to say. And we're done.
Men on Boats is, as you indicated, Jacqueline Bacchus is an Arizona-born playwright. I want to say Tucson. Don't quote me on that. But somewhere in Arizona. And she wrote a show about John Wesley Powell's first trip down the Colorado. Now, Powell was not the first to go down the Colorado. The Spaniards, the indigenous people, all went down the Colorado. And people fleeing the Civil War, I think, went down the Colorado long before Powell did. But he was the first one to document it really well. So this is why we have a lake named after him and a few other things, right? Because he at least documented it better than had been done. So Jacqueline Bacchus wrote this show to highlight the history of Northern Arizona. But let me take a step back. First and foremost, to entertain people. You walk in, this is not a history lesson. This is a show that's funny and you're going to enjoy. And even if you have no interest in Powell or the Grand Canyon, who doesn't have interest in the Grand Canyon? even if you don't have that, you're going to walk in and enjoy the show just because it's entertaining. But her mission in this show was to give voices to people who did not then traditionally have loud voices when it came, at the very least, to exploring the New West, at least new to non-Native people, right. West. And so her mission in writing this show was that Powell and his nine compatriots would be played by all women or nine non-binary actors. So that instead of focusing specifically on Powell or Dunn or Bradley or all the people who were on the expedition with him, you focused on the spirit of exploration, because you have 10 women or non-binary actors playing these parts. You're not focusing as much on the individuals as much as you are on the team effort and the spirit of exploration. And it is such a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch.
It sounds fascinating. The approach, that approach is completely unique.
Oh, I don't know that it's completely unique. I think there are a lot of things. A theater tends to do a lot of things that are wonderful like that. And of course, we're in Flagstaff, and I think you know, we're the largest theater in Northern Arizona. I think we would be delinquent if we did not do this show.
I see that. But I do think it is unique in the fact that, well, you said women.
Right.
And non-binary people.
Right.
Although the theater does embrace a lot of alternative lifestyles.
Right.
It's one of the greatest places to be.
We welcome everyone.
But it's still, it seems unique to me to tell that story that way.
Okay, because, I'll buy that.
You know, because John Wesley Powell is, like you said, the first one to document it, but he's the one we know.
Right.
And all these other people did things as well.
Right.
And so that, yeah, that's interesting to me.
So we in the show, they make fun of the fact that here we are and things are going to get named after us, but there were people here before us. they're going down the river and there's some graffiti on the wall. Some person named Ashley had been down the river 10 or 20 years before them, but the Native Americans have been down the river, you know, for who knows how many years prior to that. But the thing is, we acknowledge the fact that this is not a historical piece. We call it a true-ish story. we're going to have talkbacks afterwards where we can talk about the historical aspects of this, and talk about the Spaniards went down, talk about the Native Americans went down the Colorado. It'll be mostly, first and foremost, entertaining. But then a little bit of history thrown in, and the whole thing opens tomorrow night.
That's my next question. I do want to say real quick, like, that I love the word ish. It opens so many doors.
Yes, it does.
So many things out.
It's on our marquee. The true-ish history.
Exactly. I love that. Okay, so it opens tomorrow night at what time?
Tomorrow night, 7:30, and runs until June 9th. The June 9th, the last performance is in Cottonwood. But between tomorrow and June 2nd, we have every weekend worth of performances right at Theatricos in beautiful downtown Flagstaff.
That sounds so fun.
It is.
Okay, so talk about Theatricids for a minute.
Sure. Theatricids is, like I said, it's our education program. Unlike our main stage shows, the Mission of Men on Boats, the Mission of Annie, our Christmas shows, is to entertain the community. And maybe be a little thought-provoking in some of what we do on the main stage as well. We can talk about that as well. But Theatricids, the mission is to teach children. Yes, there's a finished performance at the end for the friends and family and the community who want to come. But the mission really is to teach children, to give them these life skills that they'll carry with them throughout their lives, and to find a few of those who are brilliant and send them off to Hollywood or New York, and that's a great thing to do. So right now we're in rehearsal for Mean Girls. Those auditions have just passed. If you inquired today, would there be room in Mean Girls? Probably not, but you could ask. We do summer camps all summer long.
Summer camps.
Right. So if you don't know what your right, if you don't know what your kids are going to do for the summer, let us know. But that said, almost all of our camps are sold out already. Last summer they all sold out. We added another one. It sold out. This summer they all sold out. We added one more. It's almost sold out. One of the first we added, I think, has a couple spots. We have room for about 200 kids, give or take, in our summer programs. And really? I think I've got 10 or 15 slots available. So, yeah, they're going fast. Not completely sold out, but we're already like 95% sold out or something like that.
That's incredible. Yeah, 200 kids.
Well, they go in groups, right? So here's 30, and then you do another 30, and another 30, and all goes throughout the summer. And the camp, so Theatricids is separated into, I don't want to get too detailed into this, so I'll do it quickly, like four different levels. We do our camps, which are sort of introductory. These are only 1 or 2 week programs. Above that, we do our performance workshops. And now you're looking at 2 months worth of rehearsal that's usually after school. Those end in a much more polished performance workshop. Above that, we do our Theatricids Advanced, which is usually a smaller, grittier, cutting-edge show where not only are we teaching theater skills, but a little bit of life skills. And then we do our Stage Buddies program, which is in our Theatre Kids program, but they're young adults in the program, so calling it a Theatre Kids probably isn't really accurate, but it's one of our education programs. And these are actors with special needs who are then paired with their buddies, and you get actors with special needs on stage performing. Nice. with being able to do something that they're not able to do frequently in their normal lives. I will tell you, our Stage Buddies program is hands down the most inspirational theater I've ever seen. It is just wonderful to see these. So not only do the students with special needs get access to theater and growth in their personal life, the buddies who are paired with them on stage get a better sense of what those actors with special needs go through in their daily lives. So it's teaching more than just theater. It's teaching some valuable life lessons that make our community a much better place to live.
And I was just going to say that word community. Obviously, it's a way to build community.
Right. Yeah, it really is. I think if you go to a lot of people at a small town theater like Theatricos, they'll tell you half their friends are from the theater. Those people in that radio theater program I was in college, I'm still friends with a couple of them.
That's fun. Okay, so you said something a minute ago, and we'll cover that later. Well, now's later. So. Thought-provoking.
Oh, right. So we do six main stage shows a year. And we're doing, you know, Men on Boats. We're doing Annie. We do A Christmas Carol. We're doing some wonderful popular shows that the primary mission is to entertain and make and just make Flagstaff a happier place to be. But sometimes theater gets in and does something a little bit grittier, right? So the reason we do a big musical like Annie is so we can pay to do a show that's a little bit grittier, which doesn't make as much money or loses money. And we're okay with that. If you do the musical to make the money, you can do the grittier show that's going to lose the money. We didn't invent this formula, but implementing it is how we get to do grittier shows. So last year, we did a wonderful show. This show was hilarious. A show called Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche.
Oh, yeah. I was out of town. I wanted to see that so bad.
It was hilarious. And the show is exactly what the title calls for. It's set in the, 1950s, where being a lesbian was still something you could not do out in the open. So these women would meet. It was just hilarious. And so there are only five actors on stage talking about their lives in very funny, hilarious ways. And it was just, it was wonderful. And we traveled the show. We went to the Montoya Center. We went to Sedona with the show. And it was a little thought provoking. And the title alone achieved two things. One, the people who wanted to see that show, they came out in droves. And two, people who didn't want to see that show, they didn't come. But we were able to do some cutting-edge theater that was a little thought-provoking, and we love doing that too. And it's about finding the balance between doing the big shows like Annie to pay for the five lesbians eating a quiche and being able to provide both entertaining shows and thought-provoking shows to the community.
And I think that's so important, the thought-provoking thing, because putting things in people's face in an entertaining way it provides an opportunity for the learning experience.
It really does, right? So I think in that particular case, if you were one of our normal patrons who trusted us as Theatricos to do good work and came in and saw that show, the title telling you in essence what it was about, you were exposed to a culture, especially a culture and a lifestyle in the 1950s, and it could have been the 40s or 60s, don't quote me on the exact time period, that was not at all out in the open then, and you understood what people went through in their lives, and you normalize that sort of thing, which makes our community a more loving place to be. And that was, yeah, it was just a beautiful show to do. First of all, people were entertained. They had a good time. And secondly, they walked out going, huh, that was, learned something. That was kind of cool.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We loved doing that.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah.
And we had a shortage of directors, so we didn't do one in 24, but we've already identified the cutting edge show we're going to do in 2025. So we're going to announce that show on September 14th. I can come back if you want.
Please do.
So we've got another great cutting edge show for 2025 that will in similar ways and obviously very different ways be very, very thought provoking. The person who's directing this says when he read it and he was done, he cried.
Really?
When I digested that show, I wasn't quite in tears, but boy, I could see how some of the audience will be. Yeah.
That sounds very exciting. Okay, you said it right here. September 14th.
Okay, 14th.
So before that,
there you
we'll
go.
Have you back on.
Yep.
About a little bit. Tell us what you can. About
that. I'll come back on September 15th and tell you everything.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk. We only have a few minutes left. Let's talk about contact information.
Sure. Theatricos.com. I'll spell it for you. TheatricosCom. You can sign up. You go to the website, get tickets for tomorrow night's opening night of Men on Boats. You can audition for Annie. Those auditions are Sunday, Monday. You can get one of the last spots in our summer camp. All of that's on the website.
That makes it really easy.
It does. Yeah, we like to make it easy.
com, and that's yep. with a K.
Yes, it is.
You know, Dr. Alice was here from Tinkertopia.
Yes, recently. Also with a K.
And with a Y. Spell that, Tinkertopia with a Y. And when she did promos, we did the same thing. She says, that's with a Y. You know, but, yeah, Theatricos, the spelling is with a K.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, except it's been that way for 50 years.
Right.
I think in that one group that met in the basement of the Weatherford and decided to do that first show came up with that name, presumably inspired by something Greek. I don't know.
KOS, you're right. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited that Theatricos is doing a play by an Arizona-born playwright.
Right.
That's a very exciting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that she feels like it's a full circle thing.
She did a little bit. She was very, in fact, I exchanged a couple emails with her, which you don't usually get a chance to do with playwrights because they're always so big and so famous. But because we were close to home and we were dabbling in the gender issues, and I wanted to get her take on her reasoning for that casting decision, she was like, oh, and I'm so glad it's coming back to Arizona.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
To know that she feels that way.
Yep.
I'm not surprised at all. Well, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciate you being involved in Theatricos. It sounds like a really wonderful thing down there. So check it out, theatricos.com, TheatricosCom.
Very good.
First time.
Oh, pretty good. Yeah. Thank you, Talene, and thank you, Radio Sunnyside.
You're welcome. And Chris will be back to talk about the upcoming gritty 2025 show.
All right.
And so we have that to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in to Learn, Grow, Grow. We'll see you later.